Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 12. In verse 1, in the latter part of the verse, Jesus said to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy means acting or pretending. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. One of the things that's very important for us as Christians is to never enter into leaven. Now, leaven comes in various forms. Leaven technically is yeast. It's not talking about yeast, but technically it's yeast. And it ferments. And when it ferments, it causes problems. It causes alcohol to be produced. Now, the leaven of the Pharisees is not obviously alcohol, but it's something that takes place within their thinking that basically destroys everything about them, everything about their faith, everything about their life, really, ultimately. So Jesus says, beware of the leaven. It can be not just the leaven of the Pharisees. It can be any form of leaven. In Psalm 119:133, the Word of God says, direct my steps by your word. Now, when that takes place in John 16:13, it's the Holy Spirit that's directing our steps. This is where we want to be. This is how we avoid the leaven. Direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. Iniquity, in its most basic definition, is self-orientation. So direct my steps in your word, and let no self-orientation have dominion. That means rule, charge, government over me. Leaven is that part that is in charge. If there is leaven in my life, it will start to direct my life. It will control my life. Now, sometimes people do really great, except they have this secret part in their life. And that secret part, they're not willing to give up. That means that secret part of their life has more authority in their life than God does, than the Word of God does. And that secret part of their life can take dominion over their life. We protect that secret part if we have it. Not everybody does. But if we have it, we protect it. This is why it becomes governmental. Because we start making decisions in order to protect it, and sometimes it can become the source of our righteousness, or it will become the source of our rationalization. There's something in my life that is not right with God, but I'll rationalize it. And that rationalization will appease our own conscience from being convicted. So conviction can't come in because I give myself a self-defined justification, but just as frequently I'll twist some aspect of scriptures to justify this. In Galatians 5:7, the Word of God says, you ran well. And this is how it works with people. I've known a lot of people that this has happened to. I don't think you can go through life as a believer for very long without encountering people that this happens to. You want to prevent this from happening in your own life. I always tell young people, the best decision that I have ever made, or certainly one of them, outside of getting saved and then getting married, is always ask God to keep you in His perfect will, no matter what. Even if you don't want it, ask Him to keep you there. Because the only way you wouldn't want it is if your old sin nature is taking over. You don't want that. So ask God, make that a habit in your life. Ask God to always keep you in His perfect will, even if you don't want it. He's very faithful to do that. Here Paul says, you ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Leaven can do that. Leaven does do that. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion does not come from him who called you. A little leaven leavens the entire lump. Now, yeast is obviously put into dough for the sake of baking, so this is an analogy. But a little bit of leaven in your life will leaven your entire life. The enemy makes a point of sowing leaven. Now, leaven can be anything from self-righteousness through the law, and that's what Paul is dealing here with, to outright sin that somebody's protecting in their life, often secretly. And it can become the source of comfort or pleasure or security or whatever, but it also is deception because it's pretense. And at best, it's not a faith which makes it sin. So watch out for the things that enter into your life that become leaven. Watch out for those little things. A little righteousness by the law. That church not too far from here, where the pastor said, I preach 10% law and 90% grace, but I gotta keep that 10% law or they're gonna go out and sin. Absolutely wrong. You've just made them debtors to the entire law. Absolutely wrong. If you understand grace, you will know that grace will not lead people to sin. But most people don't understand it that thoroughly. They think grace is simply the unmerited favor of God when that's only one third of grace. And so, you throw in a little bit of leaven in the lump, and you make it the law. What happens? That person becomes self-righteous because they're following the law. Self-righteousness in Proverbs 6:16 is a pretty profound sin. It's a proud look, as the Bible puts it. And so that's a pretty profound sin. There's only 7 sins that God specified that He particularly hates, and that's the first one. And so you don't want that leaven in your life. You don't want to feel righteous because you're obeying the law. You don't want to become what I call Christianese. Having a lot of pretended activity, thinking that this activity gives you some sort of standing with God when it's nothing but self-deception because it's not real. That's called hypocrisy. You don't want to be an actor, a pretender. You want somebody who has a real relationship with Christ through a real faith that comes by the Word of God, and you want God to be real in your life. The people who are pretending in order to have God in their life or tell themselves they have God in their life, it's just an illusion. I'm not saying they're necessarily not saved. They may very well be saved, but they don't have that active relationship because they're trying to build that relationship on self-righteousness. They have a little bit of leaven, and it's appeasing their conscience, and it's deceiving them in thinking that that self-righteousness is their place with God. Your place with God does not come by self-righteousness. Your place with God comes by grace and grace alone through faith. And that is it. That's the only option God offers. So we live in a purity of faith. We don't pretend to have something we don't have. We go out and get through the Word of God what we don't possess so that we will have it for real. But we don't pretend. Other types of leaven come in also. Some people have preferred sins. I think in Christianity, probably one of the most common preferred sins is alcohol. For some reason, you just cannot get Christians to depart from their booze. I'll never figure it out. I had a couple of friends, this is years ago, maybe 20 years ago, they went to a big convention of a major denomination, and they were holding it, I think it was in New Orleans. And they were in a restaurant, and the waiter said to him, I've never seen people drink as much alcohol as these people do. Yet Jesus said plainly that while John the Baptist was the greatest man born of a woman, he didn't drink wine or strong drink. It says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. So don't even look at the wine when it's red. Don't even think about it. And people go out there and they protect it in their life. They'll keep it as a secret sin. Yes, it is sin. It's not a faith. It's not a faith response to the Word of God. That makes it sin. And yet they go out there and anyway. And if you preach on it, they'll either hide it or they'll react at you. And a lot of people hide it. Now, there are people who will bring leaven into a church. And either they'll do it through trying to bring in a law or a standard apart from grace, or they'll bring it by secretly saying to people, conviction is not always right. For example, the doctrine of no-touch love. That's 1 Corinthians 7:1 introduces that doctrine. In Ruth 3:10, Ruth was commended for not pursuing younger men. In 1 Corinthians 7:27, Paul commends young men for not desiring to be married. Now, it doesn't mean that being married is wrong, but it means they're not going after it. They're not making an issue of it. They'll receive it when God brings it, but they're not trying to find it. He commends them for that. In Genesis 24, we see exactly how God deals with marriage. Now, in that chapter, Abraham's servant, Eliezer, went to find Abraham's son a wife. So Isaac got his wife when Abraham sent a servant out to find a wife. And that servant prayed that God would lead him to the right person, the right woman. And indeed he did. Now, that servant was a picture in typology of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit finds your spouse. Now, I'm not saying that only one person in the world can be the right person for you. That's not true. But there is someone that God wants for you. And if for some reason something happens to that person, then God will find another person. But let God do the choosing. That's the point. Let God do the choosing. Now, there's a lot of people who have trouble with that. I've actually heard pastors say, if you don't date, then how are you going to find your wife? And in a very natural worldly sense, that seems to make sense, doesn't it? Except for one thing. My wife made this point one time. I thought it was a great point. She swore off dating when she got saved. And her friends ridiculed her for it. They would say to her, how are you going to find a husband? And she was like, okay, so God can create the universe. God can create me. God can make me alive. He made everything that exists. But this one is a little too hard for him. I better help him out. That's such nonsense. Now, the funny thing is, she was among the first of her friends to get married. And so, you trust God. When you trust God, you get out of His way through your natural way of doing things, and He makes things happen in your life. Now, a little leaven comes into a ministry, somebody, particularly if they have a lust pattern, who doesn't like the doctrine of no-touch love, it's better for a man not to carnally touch a woman. And then they start saying behind the pastor's back, come on, be real. That isn't so. What about your biology? Women have this one. Your clock is ticking. Let it tick. It was made to tick. So what? But this is a little bit of leaven that comes into people's lives. A little bit of unbelief. Sometimes people bring in concepts, especially religious concepts. And they start to impart those concepts to other people. This is what happened to Paul, by the way. In Galatians 2:4, false brethren came in, who by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ, that they might bring us into bondage. He's talking about the law of liberty. And the law of liberty says you are free from the works of the law for righteousness' sake. You don't need the law to be righteous. That's the law of liberty. You're freed from the law. You don't need it to be righteous. Even that one, there are people who will react at that. But then they're reacting at the Word of God, because it's right here in Galatians 2:4. So these people came in, they would follow Paul from place to place. They were called Judaizers. And they were people who were claiming to be Christians, but Paul is saying they were false brethren. They weren't really Christians, but they were claiming to be Christians. And they followed Paul around. Paul preached a grace message, and they tried to introduce law. And they would actually get a lot of people to walk away from grace in favor of law. They wanted Moses. Paul was teaching Christ. But they wanted Moses. And a lot of Christians were damaged by that. Well, that can happen. You can have people come in and they want law, because law is really where the righteousness comes in. And it comes from often having poor teaching in the past, where somebody is convinced of something, they accept it, it's the wrong teaching, and they try to bring it to a new place where somebody is teaching correctly. And it can do a lot of damage. This is leaven. This was also the leaven of the Pharisees. The leaven that they were supposed to look out for came sneaking in, trying to take away the freedom that is in the gospel, to bring in a bondage to the law. And it continues in verse 11 there. Now when Peter came to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision, the Judaizers. And so Peter would hang out with the Gentiles, no problem, until the Judaizers came in, the ones that were insistent on Moses, on the law. Then all of a sudden, Peter started pretending. He became a hypocrite, a pretender, an actor. Peter had a problem. He was intimidated by the religious crowd. And he changed his behavior toward other believers because of the religious crowd. And Paul had to rebuke him, and he did it publicly because Peter was doing it publicly. He was actually damaging people at that point. Now, Peter ended up doing very well, but he had some weaknesses to overcome. And that was one of them. The enemy brings leaven. And sometimes he uses that leaven that's in one person's life to infect another person's life. Pastors have to be very watchful of that. that somebody not come into their ministry and infect people with leaven, infect people, let's say, with carnality or with self-righteousness or what have you. Now, in Matthew 13:33, Jesus spoke a parable, and he said, "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven." Now remember, leaven is yeast. So this is just an analogy, but it's a very good analogy. "Which a woman took and hid 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened." Leaven creeps in. Somebody plants a little bit of it. And then it starts to grow. And ultimately, it can affect the entire person, the entire church, the entire organization. It comes in small, and it starts to grow. It starts to spread. Now, those things which we withhold from God in our lives are leaven. And eventually, they will take over our lives. It'll take time. But leaven is a poisonous seed. And a little poison can destroy the whole organism. So sometimes Christians will defend this. Now, this is one of the more common things that happens. They will defend sin in their life in the name of the law of liberty. Now, James 2:12 says, "So speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty." And they say to themselves, "I have liberty because I'm not going to be judged by the law. I'm only going to be dealt with in grace. I have liberty." That is a misuse. It's a twisting of the scriptures. The scriptures never say you have liberty to sin. God says that without faith, it's impossible to please him. He gets no pleasure in this. And he says whatever is not of faith is sin. So God gets no pleasure in sin. So we don't have the liberty for sin. God is not pleased with that at all. But they say to themselves, "I have liberty." I remember one guy. Now, this is, 15, maybe more years ago. He wanted to talk to me. He wanted some counseling. And he said, "I drink a little bit of wine every night. I really like it. I drink this little bit of wine." He said, "I have a glass or two of wine in the evenings." I understood where he was coming from. He had an emotional attachment to it. It gave him a certain feeling of almost like British classiness, quote unquote. It's not really classiness. It's this high-minded mentality that certain people can possess and that Brits don't always possess, which is the funny thing. Now, he had this illusion, this image in his head. And it helped him to feel like he's entered into that image. And he liked his wine. And I said, "You know, that's sin." And I explained to him why it's sin. I explained to him what Jesus said about it. I explained to him what the Word of God says about it. Don't even look at the wine when it's red. That's a good one. We've already mentioned a couple of those. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. But he wasn't having any of it. He liked it. Now, he wasn't a drunkard, but he liked it. And so, secretly, he would keep this going on. That was leaven. Now, this kind of leaven can be quite destructive. There was a guy that I knew. He was a great guy. High profile, but a great guy. Except he also had a secret problem with drinking. And eventually, this blows my mind still thinking about it, He not only left his church, he left his wife because he wanted to go to bars. And his wife was having none of it. So they divorced. And he ended up in a bad accident. And God was warning this guy. That was chastisement. God was warning him. I don't know what became of him. He had leaven. And that leaven took over. If I tolerate leaven, leaven will take over. At first, it just started like a secret sin. Nobody knew, but then it took over. That happens to people. This is why you want to beware of leaven. Leaven takes over. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. It'll leaven your entire life. In James 1:25, regarding that law of liberty, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, a faith responder. This one will be blessed in what he does. So James is not saying that the law of liberty is the freedom to sin. James is saying that the law of liberty means you are free to live unto God through faith responses rather than through the law. Well, yeah, we know this. Paul told us this, Ephesians 2:8. Paul made it very clear. James is agreeing. James was not preaching law. James was preaching the royal law, which is love. And in that, he had freedom from the law for righteousness, but not freedom from God, and not freedom unto sin. Not freedom to have leaven. Leaven is not a good thing. In Jeremiah 5:25, your sins have turned these blessings away, and your sins have withheld good from you. Leaven will turn away your blessings. And it'll withhold the good that God wants to give you from you. It prevents God from giving you things, from blessing you. Because God cannot bless sin. God will bless faith response. God will bless the person who turns to Him. God will bless the person who seeks after Him. God will not bless sin. In Genesis 22:16, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and not withheld your son. And he's talking to Abraham here, when Abraham was giving up Isaac at the altar. Your only son. Blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. That's pretty good. Because there was nothing you withheld, even what you felt was precious in your life, but you didn't withhold it, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to multiply you. If we have leaven in our lives, we don't get blessed. But if we get rid of the leaven, we get blessed greatly. Nothing withheld. No leaven there. Nothing withheld. In Exodus 34:25, you shall not offer blood of my sacrifice with leaven. Now, if I claim the blood of Christ and continue with sin, it will not have its effect. You cannot claim the blood as you continue in sin. In Romans 3:25, the propitiation for sin, in other words, that which God needed in order to restore us to right fellowship with Him, is by faith. And sin is the lack of faith, Romans 14:23. So I can't claim something by faith and then enter into something other than faith. I can't claim faith and be out of faith at the same time. But that's what sometimes people do. They'll say, well, grace, so I can sin. No, you can't have it both ways. Grace through faith. So if there is no faith, in Romans 5:2, there is no entry into grace. Whatever is not of faith is sin. So you can't say to yourself, I can keep my leaven, I can keep my sin, I can keep my self-righteousness, and come to the grace of God and receive forgiveness and all the benefits of that. No, it doesn't work that way. Grace through faith. Sin is whatever is not of faith. So a person who, let's say, fornicates and they say, well, grace, or a person who secretly drinks and they say, well, grace, or a person who has some self-righteous issues or what have you, grace, no, doesn't work that way. You cannot mix the blood with leaven. Doesn't work. The blood comes by faith. Leaven is apart from faith. Doesn't work. You can't go up and down at the same time. Doesn't work. In 1 Corinthians 5:7, therefore purge out the old leaven. Get rid of it. Get rid of the leaven. It's not hard, it's a choice. Get rid of the leaven. A little secret sin on the side, get rid of the sin. Stop it. Simple as that, stop it. A little self-righteousness going on in law, cut it out. Humble yourself before God. Purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. In reality, if you're born again, you are unleavened. You are the 2 Corinthians 5:17 new creation. You are the Ephesians 2:15 and 16 one new man with Christ. There is no leaven in Christ. So get rid of the leaven. It's separating you from Christ. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, no, with the leaven of malice and wickedness. By the way, negativity is leaven. Bitterness, leaven. Unforgiveness, leaven. Hostility, leaven. Temper, leaven. Impatience, leaven. There's all kinds of leaven going on. Anything that is self-orientation, whether at the good side of the tree of knowledge or evil side of the tree of knowledge, that is leaven. Christians will protect their leaven. They'll tell you why it's reasonable for this expression of self-orientation to exist. They'll tell you why it's reasonable to not really believe. They'll tell you why it's reasonable for them to have a drinking issue on the side. They'll tell you why it's reasonable for them to enter into fornication. They will tell you why it's reasonable for them to be critics or judgmental. They'll tell you all the reasons why it's reasonable. But it's all self-deception. God says, get rid of it. Because it's separating you from me, he says. Get rid of it. And a little bit of leaven will leaven the entire lump. It'll take over your entire life. It'll damage your entire life. Like Pastor Stevens used to say, you cannot be 10% carnal and 90% spiritual. It's either all of one or all of the other. And if there's 10% carnality mixed with your 90% spirituality, you are all carnal. Little leaven leavens the whole lump. God does not share you, and with God is the all or nothing proposition. There are people who want to withhold from God their sin. And they say, well, if I have to give up my sin, I'm not going to come to God. You have that choice. You can make that choice. But be careful. Choices belong to us. Consequences belong to God. You can make whatever your choice you can, but you cannot choose your consequence. That person, I've seen this happen before. It's on the street soul winning. The guy said, I don't want to give up my sin. I'm not going to specify what it was. I don't want to give up my sin. Okay. Okay. You made a choice. But if you never humble yourself and receive Christ, that's a choice. The consequence is God's. If I receive Christ as my Savior, if I believe on Him as my Savior, then heaven is my consequence. If I reject Christ, for whatever reason, it may be your beloved sin or something else, then hell is your consequence. That's not a threat, that's a promise. God said it. That little bit of leaven is what separates people from God, either in our experience as Christians or in our position as non-Christians. But that little bit of leaven will separate people from God. You don't want that separation. We were created for a purpose, and leaven blocks God's purpose from being manifested in our lives. God's government implements His purpose. Leaven brings a new government. You don't want that. Beware of the leaven, because it's subtle, and Satan plants it, and he tries to plant it in everybody's life. With faith response, you don't have to have it. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive You as my Savior. Thank You for loving me so much that You died for me, so I can have eternal life with You. Amen.